We've been talking about cross-examination, viewing our lives through the cross. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 3, and then we're going to go to verse 11. But I'm going to talk to you about the cross. And the problem is too many people talk about the cross during this time of year at Easter. Then when Easter is done, they never, ever take the cross daily into their lives. So here's what they do. They allow the world and what's going on in the world to defeat them. You can start seeing them going into a deep depression in their personal lives. They let addictions control them. They let offenses control them. And I'll tell you what happens. Whenever I'm doing that, it's because I am living outside of the power of what Jesus provided in the cross. So today, I'm going to talk to you about benefits for the believer. Benefits for the believer. Now, this is really important because when everybody gets a job here, anybody gets a job in any place, what's the first thing you ask for when you're wanting to get employment? You want to know, what are the benefits? Problem is more people are asking that about your job, but you never asked it of what Jesus did on the cross. So maybe cash is more important to this than Christ is. You didn't think Pastor Sam could still be that way, even on online campus, but I'm telling you, but it's the truth. Isn't it the truth that sometimes we are living so below what Jesus Christ intended for us? We should be asking more, Christ, what is it for eternity in me? What's more important now than is my than my job? So this is the thing that I want to show you are the benefits of the believer. And so I want to take the words of the Apostle Paul, go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and look what it says. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, who has blessed us, that's code language for benefits, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. This doesn't mean that every human being gets this. It means every human being has access to it if you're united with Jesus Christ through his cross in salvation. I want to go to verse 11. Look at this. Furthermore, because we are united. See that word? That's a big word. Don't distance yourself from God. There may be social distancing, but you can't do spiritual distancing from Christ. Because you are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Everybody say inheritance. Come on, say it at home. Go ahead. Inheritance. That's code language for benefits. Inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God has a plan. It's better than mine. It's better than yours. He's got a plan. So here's the deal. So many Christians know about they know about the cross without knowing the benefits and the authority of the cross. They know about Jesus Christ without knowing the benefits and the authority of the cross. They'll sing about the power of God. They'll talk about it, but they'll never experience God's power. They'll never experience or have access to it. Never, ever, ever have it. Never have it. You know, how many of you ever watched an action movie? How many of you ever watched an action adventure movie? How many ever watched it? Okay. You watch that. Now listen, anybody who goes to the movies going to hell. I'm just joking. Some of you, this is your first time to watch. You go, oh, those preachers. No. You ever seen one of those action adventure movies? Okay. You ever watched that before? And so you see this person and they're trying to find this artifact. And it's special and it might have a power to it. You remember the old Raiders of the Lost Ark, that thing, you know? And so along the way, while they're trying to find this special artifact or might have special power, what do they face? An enemy, an adversary. And then what does the enemy adversary do? Well, the enemy adversary wants to try to divert them from the benefit of that special artifact. So what do? They'll trick them. They'll trap them. They'll set traps. They'll fall in. They'll send enemies to fight against them, opposition, or they'll just lie to them and put fear inside of them. Well, let me tell you exactly what Satan has done. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he gave you an authority and a power that he took out of Satan's hand and gives to so many believers. And this is what Satan's doing. He's tricking some of you. He's got some of us in absolute panic and fear. He's trying to trap us. Some of you have opposition. Your opposition may be the person you're married to. Come on. Scoot a little closer to your spouse right now at home. Scoot a little closer. Don't blame it on social distancing. Get a little closer to him. It may be someone in your home. It may be your child. It may be your own kids that won't even speak to you anymore. He'll send opposition. He'll tell you lies. Like, if God loved you, why is this happening? Nobody cares about you. Nobody called you. The church didn't call you to pray for you. He'll send so many lies. Your husband doesn't love you. Your wife doesn't love you. Your parents don't love you. He sends all these. What's he doing? There's a special authority and power that he wants to get for you and pull you away from the presence of God. He says the more you're united in the understanding of the word and Jesus Christ's cross, the more powerful in your authority in the treasure and the benefits you have. So come on, how many of you ready to get real close to him today and get those benefits and authority that belong to you and me as Jesus? Oh, come on, that's good stuff. Amen? So I want to give you 2 points today. 2 points. 2 points are going to bless you today. You ready for this? Here's the first thing I want you to grab a hold of that Paul was trying to tell the believers in, and I want you to see today. First of all, you need to see the cross revealed Christ's supremacy. It revealed it. It revealed it. When he died on the cross, it showed the absolute authority and dominion Jesus Christ had over Satan. So the cross and the resurrection of Christ demonstrated God's power and authority. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Now check this out. Watch this. He said, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Did you just see that? I think some of us have blown right past that. He said, God's power for who? For us that believe in him. Watch this. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. If you understand why it didn't say the left hand, it's because the prime minister always sat on the right hand of the king, and the prime minister was the one responsible for carrying out all the judgments and edicts of the king. He is saying, I'm at the right hand of the Father, and I'm in control, nobody else. Wow. I'm about ready to fall out right now. Amen. Wow, this is good. Verse 21, he says, now he is far above. He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, right now where you're living, this world, but also in the world to come when we get there. Hell is not in charge, everybody. I am telling you that God has enough power to turn even your worst case scenario in your life right now into a victory. You think of what you're going through right now. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you got a diagnosis. Maybe you got a diagnosis. And you're going, I'm just wigging out. I want you to know what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Jesus said, he disarmed Satan and sin's power over you. He disarmed it. Jesus sits far above any ruler, in authority, any demon, including your situation. He's higher than that problem you're dealing with right now. Come on, I want you to check this. I'm going to get some word. I'm going to inoculate you with the word of God. You're going to... This is good stuff. Go to Colossians 2:13. I'm going to break this down for you. It says, then God made you alive with Christ. See, when you're united with him, when you ask him to be Lord, this is where the authority comes. For he forgave all of our sins. He canceled out the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Come on, look what he did on the cross. Verse 15, in this way, he disarmed, and I want you to say that out loud and let the devil hear it. Okay, ready? Say, he what? Disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He didn't just disarm them. It says he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the what, everybody? On the cross. Do you know what that means? When that was spoken to the people in Colossae, those Christians there, when he said those very words to disarm and make a shame of him, that's what kings would do when they took over a nation. They would take all the plunder, and then as they came into their cities, the people rejoiced as they saw all the plunder, and right behind them would be the king of the nation they conquered, and sometimes they would disrobe them and make them walk, not a horse, but make them walk naked as an embarrassment to everyone that they have been stripped of their authority. This is what Paul is saying. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, Satan thought he won, but I want to tell you what happened. God stripped him naked, took away his authority of death and sin and power over us, and made a spectacle of him in front of everybody through the cross of Jesus Christ. That ought to make you absolutely happy and dance right there in your house. So here's the deal. The problem is if you are disconnected from that, you can't just say, I gave my life to Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade 13 years ago, and you've not wondered and discovered what the power of the cross does. You'll live in less than what's best in the authority God has for you. So what you start thinking is that the crisis is going to win. You start thinking, everything's going to fail in my marriage. You start thinking, what's going to happen to the world? You're so overwhelmed. You're not treating things lightly. But you don't let them make you such a heavy burden on you. You start thinking that the devil is bigger than what he really is. 1 Peter 5:8, yeah, he does have power. I'm not gonna minimize it. I'm not gonna be a fool. But I'm gonna tell you something, who has the authority. 1 Peter 5:8, the disciple Peter, he knew this after he denied Jesus Christ with teeth mark all over him. He says, your enemy, speaking of Satan, he says, the devil, your enemy, the devil, not your mother-in-law, the devil, okay? Make sure you're not blaming. Listen, unbelievers are going to act like unbelievers. Don't make them the devil. Your enemy is Satan, everybody, okay? It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans that are your enemy. It's not a nation. It is Satan behind everything. He says, your enemy, the devil, watch this, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It doesn't say he is a lion. It says he tries to act like a lion. The more you disconnect from the cross, the more you make Satan think he is a lion when he just tries to act like one. You're afraid he's going to devour, tear your marriage apart. You're going to go broke. You're going to be homeless. No one's going to care about you. You're going to die. Everything's going to fall apart. When you start thinking like that, you have been disconnecting from the power of the cross by not uniting with Jesus enough. And you think Satan's going to tear you apart. And you made him bigger than what he really is. Don't you dare let him do that to you. I had this friend of mine when I was in Bible college. And I forget this. It was absolutely hilarious. He said, when I was a kid, he said, I got a paper route. I don't know. We don't have those. Do we still have paper routes? Does anybody read a newspaper anymore? but you know, they had paper routes. He had a paper route. And so the paper route, they were supposed to go up to the porch and lay the newspaper down for the person who was subscribing. Supposed to put it there. Well, he pulled up to this one lady's house first day on his paper route, and he goes open to open the fence gate, and all of a sudden this dog comes out, just comes running at him, and he runs up and slams the gate. And so he didn't want to go in there. He's scared of the dog. So he said, I just took the newspaper, and I threw it, and I missed the porch because it's just too far. And he said, every time I come pulling up my bicycle, he'd come run out, run. He said, I just throw the paper. And finally, one day he came by, and the little old lady who owned this dog was outside. She said, son, she said, come here. She goes, how come my paper's out here? I got to walk out here and come get my paper. Why is it out here? And he says, well, ma'am, he says, it's that dog. It's your dog. I'm afraid of your dog. Your dog's going to bite me. He's going to rip my leg off. He's going to bite me. She just started laughing. He said, that old woman just started laughing and laughed. She said, this dog? He says, yeah, that dog, he's going to bite me. She said, son, that dog is older than me. She said, that dog is so old, he doesn't have a tooth in his head. He cannot do a thing. He's just got a mean bark. He can't do a thing. Well, let me just tell you something. The enemy sits there and has some of us thinking everything's going to fall apart. Everything's not, our lives are messed up. My kids are never going to get saved. I'm never going to, you know, and he creates this stuff. Well, let me tell you what Jesus did to Satan at the cross 2,000 years ago. When Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to give you power, let me tell you what he did to the devil. He ripped every single tooth out of his head. He might have power to bark, and he may have power to chase you, but he does not have the power to devour you and destroy you. I'm telling you, Jesus plucked every tooth out of his head, and all the devil can do is just gum you to death. Come on, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You ought to get your joy up and come on. You're more than a conqueror. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The cross of Jesus Christ has supremacy and authority at the cross over Satan. So I'm telling you, Satan doesn't have the last word on your child. Satan doesn't have the last word on what's happened with the coronavirus. Satan does not have the last word on what the doctor said. Satan doesn't have the last word on your finances. Jesus sits in the highest place of authority and dominion. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is not up in heaven getting nervous, wringing his hands, going, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? They didn't get their paycheck. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? The doctor said, do you think God is up there wringing his hands, going, what am I going to do? Oh, everything's going crazy. Look, God does not react to Satan one bit. That's right. You want to know why all the hell's going on in your life? You want to know why all the chaos is going on in your life? It's because God doesn't react to Satan. God acts, and this is how Satan reacts. It's because he knows there's a God with all authority. So I'm going to tell you, get your hope up. Get your joy up. The cross revealed that Christ had supremacy over Satan, and he puts him under his feet. And the Bible says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. You ought to give God some crazy praise right there at your house, right in here. Come on. The cross revealed Christ's supremacy over Satan. That's just not enough for him to give supremacy over Satan. Here's the next thing you need to know. The cross releases the Christian's authority. Not just because you said, I signed a card at a church one day and gave my heart to Jesus when they sang, I surrender all, and just without, you know. No. You got to be clinging to him. So here's what Paul said to those early Christians, like he says to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Look what he says. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. Now watch this, and seated us with him. Where's he seated? At the right hand of the Father. What's the right hand of the Father? The place of the prime minister who carries out every edict and has the authority to carry it all out. He seated us with him in heavenly realms. So wherever Christ sits is where I sit, it's where you sit. In heavenly realms, because why? Because we are united with Christ Jesus. Where was Jesus? He was on the cross. He took all dominion. He gave all supremacy. But now the cross releases your authority because you are, everybody say seated. Seated. That word actually there in the Greek literally means co-seated. That's what it means. It means co-seated. That word co-seated means really that he imparts the authority he has, he imparts into you. And authority is the right to use the power that you possess. So when you identify with Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, his ascension into heaven, and he says, I'm going there to intercede for you that greater things you will do than I did. When you identify with his authority by what he did on the cross, it overrides Satan's power in your life. I'm trying to tell you something. I just want you to get this, that he didn't just reveal his supremacy, he releases his authority if you'll keep uniting with him. Unite with him when we're singing the songs. When you watch Waymaker and you play the video and you start worshiping, or you watch Raise a Hallelujah, you're uniting with him. When you read the scripture, you're uniting with him. When you pray with your family, you're uniting with him. Do you get that? He's revealing that when you're with your small group. And get ready, because we're going to offer you something for your small groups, even on a digital path, so you can keep hanging with your small group. So listen, he's going to build you up. So Christ has conquered Satan, granting you and me access to an authority that's higher than Satan's power. See, I want you to believe that your spiritual inheritance affects your physical reality. Your spiritual inheritance, your spiritual benefits, believers, affects your physical reality. Connecting with Christ's authority, when you do that, it starts changing how you view the fear levels in your life. Your worry levels go down, and everything else goes down with it. That blood pressure that's over the stress of whether you're going to die, whether you're going to eat, your family's going to survive, come on. The more you connect and unite with him, watch, your fear levels go down while everybody else is treating Satan like a roaring lion, as if he is a lion. Yours doesn't fear him because every tooth is ripped out of his head. Because Christ has all authority and he releases that authority in you. The more you unite with him, you discover it more and more. So let me read Colossians to you. This is something powerful. Look what he says in Colossians. When I said you understand his rule and his authority and you keep working that every day in your life when you're worshiping, reading the scriptures, that kind of stuff, what happens, it starts affecting your worry level, your stress level. It affects it all. The less you unite with Christ, your stress levels, your worry levels, your fear levels are going to increase. You're not going to sleep at night. I need you to know I sleep really good. I sleep really good. And I'll tell you what it's related to. I keep clinging to him, and I know he has supreme authority, and he releases it in me. Now I want to read this to you, Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ do what, everybody? Let's say it. Rule. Say it at home. Rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, what's that mean? Members, that means I'm united with something. I'm not amputated from Jesus. I'm a member of his body. So whatever flows in his veins flows in my veins. Because I'm not disconnected. That's why we have the online campus, is we don't want you disconnected from the body. That's why I tell people when we're able to start gathering together, you need to be connected to the body. As members of one body, you were called to what? Peace. And be thankful. In fact, can I tell you that whatever's stressing you out right now, or what would stress other people out, doesn't mean you're not worrying, doesn't mean you're not having wisdom, but your peace level should go down when other people say, how can you be so peaceful through all this? How can you still have joy when you're standing by a casket? He says, if Christ rules my heart and I'm not disconnected from the body, he says, I will have peace, and in fact, thanksgiving will come out of me while the world is wigging out. I'm sitting there going, Christ rules. Now that word rule, is the word in the Greek is brabuo, and it means to act as an umpire. He says, let Christ act as the umpire in your heart, and it's going to give you peace, and you're going to be thinking, and you're not going to be wigging out, because he's the umpire. The umpire is the judge. He's the referee. Everybody say referee. Let me tell you something about referees. How many like watching football? Remember last week I talked about football? How many know that referees are not the strongest men on the football field? I know you get mad and you get ticked off at them. Horrible call. Horrible call. And you look at him. Look at him. He's got the easiest job. Doesn't do it good. But they're not the strongest guys on the field. They're just the rulers on the field. They're usually older, slower. I'm not picking on anybody if you're a ref, but usually heavier. Probably start wheezing if they had to run like the guys who are bigger, brawnier. But let me tell you something. They may be slower and older and heavier, but when they throw that yellow flag down, the whole thing comes to a halt. All he's got to do is throw that flag out and it comes to a halt. The player may be bigger than him. He's over there towering over him like he's trying to intimidate him. He's just sitting there looking at him like, you're out of your mind. Be quiet and settle down. He could be bigger, have more muscle. The other guy's stronger. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how big they are. When he throws that flag down, old Tiny has got to sit down and behave. He may not be as fast, and he may be slower, but the fastest runner, when he throws that flag down, the fastest runner has to slow down because he threw down the flag. They have power. They're stronger. But let me tell you, the referee has something greater than they all have, and it's called authority and dominion on the field. And here's what Jesus is telling you. Would you stop wigging out over your marriage? Would you stop going crazy about the economy? Don't, you're sitting there, turn, please, just for a second. Maybe you do need to turn off the news, okay? And just for a minute, just dig into who you are in Jesus, what he did on the cross, and know that the umpire God is sitting up there saying, listen, when I throw down the yellow flag, I don't care how bad sickness and disease is. I don't care how poverty thinks it's great. I don't care how big the devil is. He's got to stop in his tracks and do what I say he's got to do, because he has the authority to overrule Satan on everything. And so here's my word to you. You need to start getting your joy back. You need to start getting your rest back. And it's directly related to examining the cross and uniting with Jesus instead of clinging your heart to fearful things. The enemy, who's already had every tooth plucked out of his head, he just thinks he goes about like a roaring lion. Every tooth was ripped out of his head. Do you know why? Because the real lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, died on that cross. And there's a new lion entering the arena. And that lion without a tooth in his head has to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what's going to happen right now. You need him, don't you? You need him. You need him.